All right. Quick recap of chapter 12. Started out talking about the hypocrisy of the Pharisees and how their teaching can corrupt because of the insincerity. He talked about the one that we should really fear is the one who's able to destroy both body and soul in hell, in Gehenna. Talked about how precious we are in God's sight. He knows every hair on our head. The importance of being courageous, confessing Christ before men, not holding back, not being afraid of men. Of course, that all goes together with what he was talking about. The parable of the rich fool, about this person who had had all kinds of possessions, and so all he was concerned about, instead of using those the extra possessions to help people in need around him, he was only concerned about himself. Wasn't anything wrong with having lots and lots of possessions, but he was wanting to spend the possessions on himself entirely and nothing for anyone else. So we were seeing his greed and his concern for only himself. And it ends up, of course, in verse 21, so he who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And, of course, that's what is important, but that goes really into the next section. And this is all combined. The parable of the rich fool goes right along with what he's going to say next. I mean, it's all one big thought. So we don't want to separate the parable of the rich fool from the next section because they go hand in hand. And that's what's really important. So he'd been talking about coveting, you know, been talking about your life is not about how much you have. It's about what you do with what you have, your attitude about what you have, and who are you putting your trust in. And that's what he's leading into the next section to talk about. So he said to his disciples in verse 22, therefore I say to you, do not be anxious for your life, what you will eat, nor for your body, what you will wear. Okay, the word anxious here has to do with being divided. That's what the word basically means, is being divided. And the idea of being divided is someone who is to be a disciple, and he's talking to disciples here. He's not just talking to multitudes. Notice he says, he said to the disciples, don't be divided. That's what he's saying. Don't be divided. Your possessions and your God are not to be divided. He says, don't have part of your life following possessions and gaining possessions, and then part of your life following God. He says, you've got to put all of your trust and your love and your concern for God. And when you do that, your possessions and everything else will fall into place. So he says, don't be divided. Don't put part of your trust into riches and possessions and money and part of your trust into God. He says, if you do that, you're going to be filled with anxiety. You're going to be filled with worry. You're going to be filled with frustration. And so he says, this idea of anxiety comes from you not putting God first and instead trusting in possessions. See, this comes right at the end of the parable of the rich fool. The rich fool put all of his trust and everything about his future into the possessions and was not concerned about God. And that's what that's why he's talking here about don't be anxious for your life, what you will eat, for your body, what you will wear. See, the rich fool was just concerned about himself. He was wanting to make sure that he had all he needed, not only for today, but for the rest of his life. And he did have everything he needed for the rest of his life because his life ended that very day. So he did have enough. But it's not what he wanted. And that is the connection between the rich fool, the parable of the rich fool, and this anxiety. And he says material things are a cause of anxiety. They are. I don't know if you ever watched the Channel 112 in Yosho. It's like one of the do-it-yourself networks and something where they do innovations and stuff. Well, one of the sections are about tiny houses. That's the name of it, tiny houses. And these people live in houses that are about 100 square feet, 200 square feet. And most of the time they do that so they can narrow down everything they have to just a few tiny little things. Right? I don't think I could live in 200 square feet. I think Denise and I would probably need a tad bit more than that. But the idea, I think, is pretty neat. You know, getting rid of everything except the absolute bare necessities. You know, they got, you know, one little table, a couple chairs, one little stove, one little refrigerator. And a lot of times, of course, they're mobile, so they can take them places, but not always. Sometimes they just set them down in some place and that's it. And so material things can be a cause of anxiety. Because the more stuff, if, and this is what he's talking about, if that's what your life is about. I mean, if all you're concerned about is your possessions and not doing anything for other people or not sharing with other people, it's not about having possessions, it's about what are you going to do with them. That's what this is about. He says, life is more than food and the body is more than clothes. In other words, the next life, the spiritual life, that's what life is really about. It's not about putting your trust in making sure you have all that you want in this life. That he says that's not what life is about. Because possessions can cause all types of anxiety problems. They're so easily lost. They're so easily lost, especially in our world where they can be here today and gone tomorrow, especially if it's in something intangible like stocks and bonds and money markets and all those type of things. They fluctuate so much that sometimes they can be gone in an instant. You know, if it wasn't too many years ago when the stocks lost massive amounts of their value, well, people were just, you know, devastated. Just devastated. So he's not saying it's wrong to have a whole lot. That's not what he's saying. What are you doing with it and how do you feel about it? Is that where your trust is? See, that was the problem with the rich fool. His trust was in himself and eat, drink, and be merry. And of course, that's what a lot of the world does is eat, drink, and be merry because they don't believe in an afterlife. I mean, if there's not an afterlife, that's what you should do, is eat, drink, and be merry. If there's no accounting, if there's no judgment day, if there's no heaven or hell, then why not spend the whole life here on earth getting everything you want and doing everything you want? You know, if there's no accounting, if no higher being's ever going to call you into account for how you lived, then eat, drink, and be merry. That's how you should live. But we know better. And that's what Jesus says. You know, it's not about what you possess. That's not what your focus should be. Your focus should be on higher things, things that are more important. Because they can cause you to be distracted. See, material things can cause you to be distracted. There's the double-minded thing again. Distracted from doing what God wants you to do. You know, serving Him, serving others, worshiping, that's what can happen. That's why it's dangerous. And that's why there's so many warnings about your attitude toward being rich and so forth. And that's what next Sunday morning's sermon is about the warnings and the dangers and what can go wrong if your whole life is just about money and possessions. I mean, if that's 100% of your life, the dangers that the Bible says occur are severe. So He doesn't want us to be lazy or shiftless. Now, he certainly doesn't. You know, the Bible talks about you're responsible to work. He's not, of course, saying that. Don't be lazy and expect other people to give you things like that. The Bible never even hints at that. Let's go to Proverbs a minute. Let's go back to Proverbs. Let's see. Yeah. If someone would read Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 8.
Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler. Yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep?
Go ahead and read 10 and 11. It all goes together.
A little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty. I like that. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man.
See? Very direct, isn't it? Paints quite a picture. I love those verses because it comes out and says you have a responsibility to work. I mean, it like the ant. If you can work and provide not only for yourself but others, then God requires you to do that. Because poverty can come upon you if you don't make any effort to work. You know, if you can, if you have the ability to work, God expects you to work. So He doesn't expect us to be lazy. Yes.
Well, 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says, "Let it be a command among you."
That's right.
"Those who do not work shall not eat."
That's right. Very direct, isn't it? So we do have responsibilities, all right? He's not saying you don't have responsibilities about working. No. Not yet at all. But he does tell us, don't let your life consist of just working just to get things. Yeah, you have to work to get bread, you have to work to get clothes, you have to work to have a house. Most people have to live in a house, and most people have to have a car. God knows those things. God knows that you have to have those things. And if you have your own business, then you have to have all those things for your own business and this type of thing. Not talking about those things at all. It's again all about how do you, are you putting your trust in those things? Is that what you're counting on in life? Or are you putting your trust in God? It's all about being divided. It's that anxiety caused by being divided. What are you putting your trust in? So he appeals, I guess is the word, to reason. He gives some examples. Verse 24, consider the ravens. And remember, under the law of Moses, ravens were unclean birds because they were carrion fowl. So they ate other animals. They ate dead animals, so ravens were considered unclean. So he says, even look at an unclean bird. He says, they neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouses nor barns, yet God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than unclean birds? Ravens, because they are carrion fowl, they have to wait for something to die, basically, to eat. And that's how God provides for them. That's how He provides for ravens. Well, other things too, eagles and all those type of things, vultures, they're all in the same category. That's how God provides for them. That's what they eat. They don't eat bird seed. They don't eat plants. They eat dead animals. And so that is how God provides for them. Well, if God provides for unclean birds like that, then don't you think He's going to provide for you who are way more valuable than unclean birds? So he's appealing to people's reason. He says, isn't it reasonable that God is going to be way more concerned about people than He is ravens? And so that's what he's appealing to. Then he says, who of you by worrying, so he makes another appeal, who of you by worrying can add one cubit to his height? If you then cannot do what is least, why are you anxious about the other things? So, if you can't even do that, which you can't, you're not capable of doing that. No one has the power to do that. So if you can't do that, then why are you concerned about these minor things? Because you should be concerned about the things that are important. Remember when Paul wrote to the church at Colossae? Think about things that are from heaven, heavenly things. Think on things that are on high, not on things on the earth. So our mindset and attitude and thinking should be about things that are above, not about this life and how I can be more successful than everyone else and possess more than everyone else. Again, it's about where you're putting your trust. That's what he's talking about. Jesus responded to the devil, remember, man shall not live by bread alone. That's not what, he says, that's not what life's about. But it's about every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And, of course, he's quoting from Deuteronomy. So, that is what he wants you to be concerned about. Again, not being lazy or shiftless or reckless. Because he made us to work, right? Even in the garden, Adam and Eve had a job. Even in paradise, they had a job. Because the way he made us, the way he made our mind, is for people to work. I mean, that's the way he made us. That's how he created us, with that ability and that mindset and attitude to work. That's part of who we are. That's how he created us. So he even gave Adam and Eve jobs. But of course, because of their sin, their jobs went way harder, but still, they had a job to do. They had to tend the garden. So work is important. When Paul wrote to Timothy, 1 Timothy 6, you know, about half of that chapter is about being careful about your attitude toward money. Talks about the rich a lot. So that's what he's appealing to here. And then he gives another example. Verse 27, consider how the lilies grow. Now, these are plants. He says, they neither spin nor weave. They don't have to go to a store to buy clothes, to buy yarn, to make themselves look good, because God has made them look good as they are. So he says, yet I say to you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. So he says, if God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? See, again, it's about, he's appealing to them to think about what's more important. Is money and possessions more important, or is pleasing God more important? Now, when we work as God wants us to, that's pleasing to God. But when we work endlessly to have more than everyone else, and that's what we put our trust in, is our work, then it becomes sinful. So again, it's about our attitude and who are we counting on, who are we putting our trust in. So we're not to have these divided feelings about work and money and material possessions. Because if we do, we're showing that we're not, you know, thinking about things that are above. So we're not to have those, again, divided feelings about our life. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. You know, that's toward the end of Matthew 6 and verse 33. So he says, look at the grass. Look at the life, you know, plant life and animal life are different in the Bible. In other words, the words used for life in plants is different than the Hebrew word used for life in animals. They're entirely different. An animal's life is different than a plant life. And their relative importance is also different. And so God never, anywhere in the Bible, says that plants are living in the same way that animals are living. There's a major distinction in the Hebrew words between plants and animals. So he says, even grass, which is not living in the same sense that animals are, animals and birds and fish all have a different word for life than plant life does. So if God is even clothing grass, which is not living like other things are, and he's even concerned enough about grass, then why should you be worrying being divided, and why should you put your trust in material things? That's why he says, oh, ye of little faith. See, you're putting trust in your work and your possessions and not putting trust in God. Goes back to the parable of the rich fool. See, all this is based upon the parable of the rich fool. There's the example that he's using. So he says, and do not seek what you will eat or what you will drink, nor be of an anxious mind. And again, he's not saying don't work for your food, or that's not what he's saying. He says, don't let that be what you're seeking in life. This goes back to Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. See, that's what we're to be seeking. That is supposed to be our main priority in life, is seeking God and His kingdom. That's to be the main priority. Yes, we're still to be working, and we're still to be, you know, having possessions and paying our debts. We're still supposed to do that. But what we're seeking is the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That is to be our priority. That's what our life is about. That's where our trust is supposed to be. So he says, for the nations of the world, in other words, those people who don't follow God, there's a distinction, seek all these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Pagans, people who don't believe in Jehovah, are not concerned about things that are above. They're not concerned about the next life. They're not concerned about doing good. What they're concerned about is themselves. He says, they're seeking all these things. In other words, their life is about material possessions. That's what they live for. That's where they put their trust. So he says, don't be like the nations of the world. Don't be like the pagans. Don't be like them. But he says, but seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be given to you. And there is Luke's account. And remember, this takes place at least a year after the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. Even though they include some of the same things, this is a separate sermon at a very separate place and time than the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 through 7. So it's all right to give the same sermon more than once. But I'm going to start doing that. Jesus did it several times, and I'm just wanting to be like Jesus. That's all I'm doing. I just want to be like Jesus. That's what he says do. That's what life's about, seeking the kingdom of God. So that's our priority. So he says, don't be afraid, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And I think maybe he means calling them little flock because there's very few people going to actually follow his directions. I really think that when you look at our world, I think most people are not following his directions at all. That's why he calls them a little flock. There's not many that's actually going to be seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness first. There's just not going to be very many. Most are going to be seeking the things of the world, you know, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, the pleasure of life. That's what they're going to be seeking. That's what's going to satisfy them. That's what's going to satisfy them. Those things of the world. And it's not going to be the things of God. the problem with seeking satisfaction in the things of the world, it's just like an addiction. You've got to have more to get that same level of satisfaction. So you might start out with, you know, a little bit of cocaine will give you just that right amount of satisfaction. But then after a while, you have to have a little more cocaine to get the same level of satisfaction. So material addictions are the same way. You know, a certain car might give you a level of satisfaction at first, but then after a while, it has to be increased to a different level, a higher level, to get the same level of satisfaction. So it's an addiction, just like a drug addiction or any other type of addiction. So no wonder he warns us about that. He says it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. See, the followers of Christ, not only does he say he's going to provide those necessities of life, but you're actually inheriting the kingdom of God. You're actually inheriting that. And the people of the world don't receive that. They don't get that. Those people in the world who do nothing but think about this life, like the rich fool, that's all they're concerned about is this life. Don't think anything about the next life. Don't think anything about the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The only things they're going to get in this life are the things they get in this life. And that's it. Because the next life, the eternal one, will be just like Lazarus and the rich man. The rich man, it was all about him. It was all about him during this life. That's all he was concerned about was himself. Wasn't concerned about Lazarus. No doubt he saw Lazarus every day. He was not concerned about Lazarus, not concerned about beggars, not concerned about people who needed his help. He obviously had plenty to help, and he chose not to. That's why he ended up in torment. Of course, it was too late then. So another example of what he's talking about. Well, our time is definitely up. Thank you very much, and we're going to be talking a little bit more about this before we talk about being good servants at the end of the chapter.